Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Let me read it from the top, but we really want to kind of focus down around the 21st verse. Jesus speaking in parable, he said, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also and said, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" That's one of the most harrowing scriptures in the Bible, that the Lord even puts that there, that there are these people that are ostensibly kingdom people or God's people who upon the coming of the Lord are not prepared and try to make up for lost time, and to have the Lord say, you know, "I do not know you. Surely I say I do not yet know you." You know, that's harrowing to me. That's terrifying to me. He says, "Watch therefore, for you know not whether the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country," he's using another parable, "who called his own servants and delivered them his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, each according to his ability. And immediately he went out on a journey." You know, just the implication of that is that everybody has some kind of talents. Everybody's been invested in by God. The Bible says according to their ability. But everyone has something of God that's been invested in you by God for the purpose of producing profit for his kingdom. Some kind of kingdom profitability. That's really what really boils down to. And after he did that, he went on a journey, right? So Jesus was taken up 2,000 years ago and is seated now at the right hand of God. Our King, our Master, has given us things of value that he's invested in us, things of the Spirit that he's invested on us, and he's gone on a long journey. It's been a couple of thousand years. And the promise is we know that he'll be back. "And then he who had received the 5 talents went in and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents, said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The thing that you should be planning on working in your life, that the whole product of your life when you enter into God's presence is you hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's not talking about Jesus as or God as Father. It's not talking about God as the ultimate judge. You know, it's our metaphorical image of ourselves as servants, his servants. You know, we are a nation of servants. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, let the greatest among you will be the servant of all. So Christianity has got this inverted sense of what the value is. You know, in the ways of men, the more you have master over, you have master over a big pile of money, or you have mastery over great skills, or you have mastery over influence over people, that mastery is considered great. But in the kingdom of God, Jesus said, let the greatest among you become the servant of all. And there's a humility that's built into that. You cannot be a servant and be filled with pride. You cannot be a servant who's filled with pride. Being a servant, identifying yourself as a servant, first and foremost, makes you feel humble, you know? You know, it's funny because in culture, even some of our vernacular has changed. Whereas you'd go to a restaurant at one point and, you know, the restaurant would come and say, my name is George, I'll be your servant today, you know, or something like that. And more often than not, nowadays you go to a restaurant and some young person comes up and says, hi guys, what can I get for you? You know what I mean? There's this sort of equalization that people really are not quick to identify themselves as a servant. I'll be your servant. I'm going to be your servant today, right? Which classically, frankly, has been a noble occupation, but we're supposed to be the servants even of the servants. Yeah? So he had received 5 talents, came and brought 5 more talents, said, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more besides. You know, that's talking about profitability. That's talking about what's the profit that what profit can you point to? What can you point to? What can you point to that you're going to bring to God and you're going to say, this is a result of my efforts. I took what the salvation you gave me, the fullness of the Holy Spirit you gave me, and this is what I produced out of it. These are the things that I have manufactured. Through my investment, now you have an increase so that apparently your investment in me in the first place was worthwhile. Yeah? Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Verse 22, he also who had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I had gained 2 more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know, I remember when Jesus with the woman at the well, when his disciples came back, you know, Jesus said, I really don't want to eat. They were like, come on, Lord, it's time. You got to get some nourishment. He said, no, I don't need to eat. He said, my nourishment, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. What? Caring for the woman at the well, you know, talking to her, ministering to her, the grace and the love and the goodness of God to her, more fulfilling than food. I don't need food. And the disciples couldn't understand it because they were about as spiritual, I think, as most of us are most of the time. Because they were talking about he must have snuck a peanut butter and jelly sandwich somewhere or something, right? So the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. So you say, you know, and it's not really not uncommon for a Christian is to say, I just don't really have anything to give. You know, I see rich people in the body of Christ, and, you know, maybe they can give because they have so much. They have such a great education, or they have such, you know, a great background. But me, look at me. The Lord hasn't made some big investment in me. But even the one who had just two talents earned two more talents. And he got the same commendation as the guy who had five talents and got five more talents. So maybe he's the megachurch pastor, right? Or maybe he's started a movement, a denominational movement or something, right? So then verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look there, you have what's yours. You know, this all sounds very pious and very religious. I have the fear of God, and I wasn't going to play around with this amazing investment you made in me. So I dug a hole and I hid it in the ground. So I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to lose my salvation. So you have what you invested in me through the death of your son. I'm saved. Here I am. You still have me. But I don't really have any profit to show you because I was afraid. I want you to know, I think that him saying that, that's a line. I don't think that was really the truth. I don't think he was being honest. I think he thought to himself, what can I say that will make me really sound spiritual? You know, will really make me sound like righteous. I don't want to, you know, lose your investment, lose your money. And this is when Jesus is so warm and fuzzy and cuddly. He says, but the Lord answered and said to him, tough boy. Jesus doesn't say wicked that often, because wicked is bad on steroids. Wicked is bad on steroids. Wicked is not just, oh boy, you made a dumb mistake. You idiot. He didn't say that. He said you. Wicked and lazy. And those two words, that they go together, that's pretty powerful. Wicked and lazy. You know, not for nothing, but they're probably not a worse curse that a person can have than being lazy. The lazy person values lying on his bed. What does it say? The leech has two daughters, give and give. Right? That's the proverb says. So, you know, listen, I think most humans are, you know, we function under the law of inertia. If we're in motion, we tend to stay in motion, right? If we're in motion, we tend to stay in motion. We tend not to accelerate much. That has to come through our energy, through inner energy, that to accelerate. But the tendency is sort of through the law of second law of thermodynamics, our tendency is to slow down, not speed up in our service. Our tendency is to wear out. You know, and it takes energy for us to continue to advance and to continue to accelerate in our faith. Yeah? We're looking for well done, good and faithful servant. As a matter of fact, he says here, Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The people were given investment, God invested in them, and went on a long journey, and is going to come back and is going to call you on the carpet and say, okay, what'd we make? How did my kingdom prosper as a result of you being there? Yeah? Okay, so you ever heard of method acting? Method acting is this kind of acting school, or this perspective of acting, where the actors actually immerse themselves so completely in their character that most of the time they'll live in character when they're shooting and when they're not shooting. They do all kinds of crazy things. You read there's a Jared Leto guy. Well, I don't know any of his movies, but I've read enough about him and his crazy antics in method acting, experiencing all these different areas of life, you know, to be able to buy into the emotions of his character so he does a better job projecting the character. Christian Bale did some movie. I have not seen that movie either, but I think it's called The Mechanic. And he lost, like, he became like almost down to 100 pounds or something. He became so skinny, but that's method acting. I want you to know that we should be method actors. I want you to know that we should be method actors. Because we take the Bible and we read it and almost create a form of church that has a respect for the words in the Bible, but rarely do we try to line up our actions, our words, and our activities like you see modeled in the Bible. You know, I get crazy when I think about Peter jumping over the side of the boat to walk on water. You know, I like to think about what he was thinking at that time, what he was feeling at that time when he said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come to you. And Jesus didn't give him a theological treatise or a sermon. He just said one word, come. And here's crazy Peter over the side of the boat. And now here's crazy Peter taking half a dozen steps and all of a sudden really waking up to what the heck he was doing, which was impossible. People don't walk on water, except it's in January here, right? You walk on water then. So people don't walk on water. So, you know, the method actor would look at that and say, what was it about Peter that gave him that kind of faith to even recognize Jesus walking on the water in the first place and have the intuition to cry out, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come to you. Is that your first reaction? How do we, as method actors, how do we learn how to respond to Jesus that way? The method acting I'm talking about is putting on the character of Christ, putting on the faith of Christ, putting on the what the Bible calls us to do and be, to look at the examples that we've got and to live in them. Listen, what is a method actor who reads the Psalms? How is a method actor going to praise and worship? That one who's a method actor, who's really trying to discover what the Bible is saying about this process of praise and worship, is going to be highly animated. Because the Bible talks about leaping, it talks about clapping hands, it talks about loud shouts, it talks about timbrels and harps and dancing. The Bible's description of worship doesn't really look anything very much like we worship. But we stretch toward it. Are you with me? When we talk about David dancing and whirling before the Ark of the Covenant, a good method actor is going to want to know why. If I had to play that part, you see, I want you to win an Oscar. I want you to win an Oscar. You know what an Oscar? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's your Oscar award. That's your Tony. That's your Oscar. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want you to win an Oscar. But in order to win an Oscar, we have to learn to be method actors. We have to learn how to dive into the Word of God and become the Word of God. Because if you practice it by pretending it first, although you do believe it on some cognizant, reasonable level, you do believe the Bible, you're just not really sure how to do the Bible. So what we tend to do is imitate one another instead of imitating people in the Bible. Why do Paul and Silas get beaten with rods, thrown into a dungeon, and then have a sing-along? And then have a hymn sing? Why? Why, after a day of ministry and you're only offering the gospel, that they arrest you because you've cast a demon out of this fortune teller woman. They rile up the crowd, they arrest you, they beat you with rods, and they throw you in the deepest dungeon and shackle your hands and your feet. So let's, okay, how do we respond to that as method actors? We should groan first. Groan? We should absolutely curse. I mean, listen, who's kidding who here? We should actually bring out our best tapestry of vulgarity and profanity, of hatred and vitriol. We ought to slather the walls with our hatred and hey, I'm innocent, I'm telling you. I'm innocent. I didn't do nothing. I'm innocent, I'm telling you. Where's God? He promised he was going to care for me. He said he loved me. Now he let this happen? It's because we always blame everything on God. Paul says, Silas, want to sing? Want to sing? Silas says, yeah. Right? Put your mind in a method actor. Well, how did they do that? Let's pray. What a mighty God we serve. And I've said it a million times here. That's where they invented the tambourine. Because they had chains on their hands and feet. Ching, ching, ching. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. In him we live. And it says all the inmates were listening. Why? Because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Who can know that kind of faith? Who can know what that kind of faith is like? What does that look like in the moment of your trouble? How do you emulate that in the moment of your trouble? Does that make sense? So, I'm going to read this quick. I'm 5 minutes over. You're playing in a movie of you. This is your movie, but on another whole level, you're going for best supporting actor in the movie about Jesus. You're going for best supporting actor, the Oscar best supporting actor in the movie of Jesus. Yeah? It is your autobiography, but it is also Jesus' autobiography. Our hope is to win the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. We should live as method actors. We got to put Superman out of a job by being full of good works. If you can get to the good work that needs to be done before Superman, you are Superman. We got to get out of the phone booth. We got to get out of the phone booth. They don't even have phone booths anymore. The kids are all going, what's that? Oh, he means the Apple Store. Watch an old Superman. You'll know what a phone booth is. We got to get out of the phone booth, and we got to save the world. That's our job. Our Jesus saved the world. If you can be the Superman to fix a relationship, maybe your marriage relationship, maybe a relationship of friends of yours. Maybe you see a marriage crumbling in front of you. And maybe your words of hope will help someone stay married. Yeah? Listen, I think education is all about Jesus invested something in you. We have such educational opportunity these days. You know, people come frequently to me because they're underemployed. I'm telling you something. There have been dozens of people since I've been here who in their adult lives have earned college degrees. Listen, if you're not that effective, you know, develop your skills. Get an education. Get training. Get more. Yeah? And you have to show a positive attitude toward work. What he says is, you wicked and lazy servant, that's one person. The lazy person is the wicked person, but the wicked person is also the lazy person. You wicked and lazy. Wicked and lazy. It means you don't like work very much. That means you go out of your way to get out of work. Wicked and lazy. They go together. Have a positive attitude toward work, because if you are going to be working for a long time in your life, and your work should benefit you. It should enrich you. It should prosper you. It should validate you. It should help to mature you. Okay? It's Proverbs 6:6 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Doing the right thing in the right season at time is what the ant teaches us very well how to do. Yes?
Yes.
All right. I want you to win an Oscar. I want you to win Best Supporting Actor in the play of Jesus, the act of the early 2000s that the Lord calls you and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you've brought some kind of productivity, some kind of profit to his kingdom, his work. Amen? And he'll take care of your stuff, by the way. It's always been the way with me. I take care of God's stuff. He takes care of my stuff. It's really a great deal. You have all these wonderful promises, and he doesn't forget his promises. You remind him sometimes, not because he's forgotten them, but because he wants you to depend on his promises. His promises of making you the first and not the last, the top and not the bottom, the beginning and not the end. Bless you coming in and going out. Bless you in the country and in the city. Bless your bank account. Bless your, read Deuteronomy 28 sometimes, all the blessings of God that come upon his children. You take care of his business, he'll take care of your business. That's how that works.
Hello, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Englehart shared a great message with us today entitled Best Supporting Actor, Knowing Your Role. Pastor Bob shared today that God has invested in our lives and he expects a return on that investment. You may be asking, what investment has God placed in my life? I would tell you that the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins, that we may have eternal life with him. If you've never placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize, Lord God, that you died for my sins. I turn from my wicked ways and place my whole trust in you today. Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. Holy Spirit, I ask that you fill me with your power now. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer with me today, I encourage you to find a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church or you'd like to visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center, you can visit us any Sunday at 10 a.m. Our address is 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. If you'd like to find out more information on Catskill Mountain Christian Center, you can call us at 845-586-4848, or you can find us online at www.cmcconline.org, or you can find us on Facebook. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center, and if you would like to financially support the work of On Fire Radio, you can give online again at cmcconline.org. So on behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off, reminding all of us to work at that role of best supporting actor to our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless, and we'll see you in church.